This is Toby Sumter with your Cross Politic Daily News Brief for Thursday, February 27th, 2020. Joe Biden gaffes pile up during Tuesday night's Democratic debate in South Carolina. Joe Biden claimed that 150 million people have been killed by gun violence since 2007. That would be half of the current U.S. population. Most actually put the number around 400,000, while one FBI statistic found there have been around 1.5 million aggravated assaults involving a firearm, but that's still a far cry from 150 million. Perhaps he meant to say that abortion has murdered around 61 million babies since Roe versus Wade in 1973. But the gaffes keep piling up. In a campaign speech in South Carolina earlier this week, Biden also told voters that he was running for the U.S. Senate and asking for their vote. As far as we know, he has not recently called anyone a dog-faced pony soldier. But I nominate CNN for Creepy Joe's next admonition. The bloodthirsty creeps at CNN derided two bills as anti-abortion bills considered by the U.S. Senate this week. Both failed, not having the requisite number of votes. They needed 60 votes apiece. One called the Pain Capable Act, which would limit abortions beginning around 20 weeks, was shot down. The high priest at CNN noted that it is medically disputed whether unborn babies actually feel pain. Right. So since we don't know whether or not they feel pain, it's just fine to dismember them and kill them in their mother's wombs, at least until we find out whether they actually feel pain or not. This is how all great medical science proceeds. Shoot first, ask questions later. Just try random stuff. Inject people with needles, prescribe drugs. Who cares what it does exactly? The important point is that you feel good. Pretty sure CNN would be throwing a conniption fit if someone raised the same thing with kittens. The other bill would have actually done nothing to limit abortions, though CNN still labeled it as an anti-abortion bill. It merely insisted that if a baby was born alive after an attempted abortion, you don't get a second shot. It's a pitiful attempt at affirming the dignity of those small human beings who bear the image of God, and CNN had the audacity to describe the bill this way, quote, "The second bill to be considered Tuesday was the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, sponsored by Republican Senator Ben Sasse of Nebraska, that would require abortion providers to work to, quote, preserve the life and health of a fetus that was born following an attempted abortion as they would for a newborn baby or face up to 5 years in prison." A fetus that was born. Did you catch that? CNN described the baby as a fetus that was born. Do they not realize that everyone in the world is a fetus that was born? That's what human beings are. CNN again. Jacqueline Ayers, Planned Parenthood's vice president of government relations and public policy, said in a statement Monday that, quote, "The politicians behind these bills have one ultimate goal in mind, to ban access to safe legal abortion in this country." Well, there's no such thing as safe abortion, but she got that right. That's the goal. You got us. We're trying to stop the bloodshed, stop killing babies. A bill criminalizing genital mutilation surgeries will not be scheduled for a vote in committee. This is in Boise, Idaho. I mentioned this a few days ago. KTVB Boise reports that a bill that would have outlawed the mutilation of youth genitals for minors will not be scheduled for a vote. Okay, they call it a gender reassignment surgery. It's a genital mutilation surgery. That's what we need to be calling it. For minors. It will not be scheduled for a vote, making it likely dead for this legislative session. The chairman of the House Judiciary Rules and Administration Committee, Representative Greg Cheney from Caldwell, if you're from Caldwell, look him up, made the announcement in a press release Wednesday after the committee heard hours of testimony on Tuesday. During the hearing, the bill sponsor, Representative Christy Zito from Hammett, said gender dysphoria is a mental disorder and should be treated as such. If it's a mental disorder as listed in the Diagnostics and Statistics Manual, then it should be treated as a mental disorder and not as a physical disorder, Zito said. Cheney said he sent a letter to Representative Zito explaining his reasoning for holding the bill. In the letter, Cheney says that he has not yet received enough money from Representative... Oh, I'm sorry. No, he didn't say that. He says he agrees that the surgeries are harmful and should be stopped, but that the ACLU has offered him a lot of money. I'm kidding. No, it doesn't say that. But that he was also moved by the sensitivity of the issue to those struggling with it. While I strongly disagree with their conclusions and course of conduct, the parents and providers of those with gender dysphoria are very intently attempting to do what is best as they see fit, Cheney said in the letter. The bill would also make it a crime for anyone in Idaho to perform these genital mutilation surgeries on anyone under 18, which Cheney also said he has concerns with. Oh, good. Glad you have some concerns with that. He concludes his letter by reiterating that he does not support genital mutilation surgery, and he places blame on doctors who are misleading parents and others on the issue. In time, history will ultimately judge the current woke approach to gender dysphoria to be a fleeting social fad and a pall on the history of medicine and psychiatry. Cheney also compared it to the practice of bloodletting, electroshock treatment, and lobotomies in medical history. Sex change treatments, as a matter of necessity, will one day be lumped into the same regretful category, Cheney said. But Cheney nevertheless killed the bill that would ban them. All right, that makes really great sense. Let doctors mislead parents and children and perform permanent, life-altering, body-mutilating surgeries, leaving them maimed and worse. Why? Because he was moved by the sensitivity of the issue to those struggling with it. Right. I'm sure you feel exactly the same way about those who struggle with temptation to murder and rape. Notice that once again, we don't know what we're doing. We have absolutely no idea what we're doing. But we're doing it with great confidence and great speed. Hurry, quick. Cut something off. Idaho bill banning cross-dressing men from playing in women's athletics teams has passed committee. Again, KTVB Boise, Representative Barbara Earhart's bill, which would ban cross-dressing athletes from playing in women's sports, passed through the House State Affairs Committee. The Fairness in Women's Sports Act was introduced by Representative Barbara Earhart from Idaho Falls. She previously told KTVB that transgender athletes act as a roadblock for biological girls and women playing sports with other biological women. This bill is not exclusionary to cross-dressing men. Under this bill, cross-dressing women will also be prevented from competing in sports against men. Numerous Idaho schools currently allow students to participate on the team that aligns with their chosen gender identity. This legislation would effectively eliminate that choice. Earhart told KTVB that allowing boys and men to compete in sports teams that align with their gender identity reverses nearly 50 years of advances for Idaho women. Allowing boys and men to compete against girls and women shatters our dreams. Forcing girls and women to compete against biological boys and men has too often made us spectators in our own sports. Kathy Grismeyer, public policy strategist for the American Civil Liberties Union, the ACLU, argued that this bill undermines civil liberties, specifically in terms of medical testing. In this bill, there's a section that states, if disputed, a student may establish sex by presenting a signed physician statement that shall indicate the student's sex based solely on internal and external reproductive anatomy, levels of testosterone, or an analysis of the student's genetic makeup. Specifically, it creates a paradigm of discrimination that impermissibly forces sex stereotypes by allowing anyone who does not meet expectations of their sex to be subjected to invasive, unnecessary, and traumatizing medical testing, Grismeyer said. For the history of the universe, people have expected that boys have a certain kind of anatomy and girls have a certain kind of anatomy. Oh, this is crazy. But if a boy thinks he's a girl, it's totally fine to remove his penis. That's not invasive or traumatizing at all. I got it. Okay, now for a coronavirus update, because what would your Thursday be without a coronavirus update? The Washington Post reports that federal health officials urged the public on Tuesday to prepare for the inevitable spread of the coronavirus within the United States, escalating warnings about a growing threat from the virus to Americans' everyday lives. The warnings from officials with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the National Institutes of Health, and other agencies contrasted sharply with assessments from President Trump and other White House officials who have largely dismissed concerns about the virus. The mixed messages continued on Tuesday as dire warnings issued to senators and reporters early in the day gave way to a more positive assessment after the Dow Jones Industrial Average plunged 3.4%, bringing the two-day loss to more than 1,900 points, the worst in 2 years. We believe the immediate risk here in the United States remains low, and we're working hard to keep that risk low, Ann Schuchat, the CDC's principal deputy director, said during a hastily convened afternoon news briefing. President Trump was seen scowling at her from behind the curtain. I'm just kidding, not really. Anyways, Live Science, interestingly, did some reporting on this just a few days ago, contrasting and comparing the coronavirus outbreak with what's also hitting countries around the world right now, which is flu season. How do these viruses compare, and which one is really more worrisome? So far, the new coronavirus, dubbed COVID, COVID-19, has led to more than 78,000 illnesses and 2,400 deaths worldwide, primarily in mainland China. But that's nothing compared with the flu, also called influenza. In the U.S. alone, the flu has already caused an estimated 26 million illnesses, 250,000 hospitalizations, and 14,000 deaths this season alone. 14,000 deaths this season from influenza, according to the CDC. That said, scientists have studied seasonal flu for decades, so despite the danger of it, we know a lot about flu viruses and what to expect each season. In contrast, very little is known about COVID-19 because it's so new. This means COVID-19 is something of a wild card in terms of how far it will spread and how many deaths it will cause. In a more recent study considered the largest on COVID-19 cases to date, researchers from the Chinese Center for Disease Control and Protection analyzed 44,672 confirmed cases in China between December 31st and February 11th. This is from 2009 to 2020. Of those cases, 80% or 36,000 cases were considered mild. 13.8% or 6,168 cases were considered severe. And 4.7%, 2,000 of them, were considered critical. Critical cases were those that exhibited respiratory failure, septic shock, and or multiple organ dysfunction or failure. In the study published February 18th in the China CDC Weekly, researchers found a death rate from COVID-19 to be around 2.3% in mainland China. That's much higher than the death rate linked to flu, which is typically around 0.1% in the U.S., according to the New York Times. Even so, the death rate for COVID-19 varies by location and by an individual's age, among other factors. For instance, in Hubei province, the epicenter of the outbreak, the death rate reached 2.9%. In other provinces in China, the rate was just 0.4%. In addition, older adults have been hit the hardest. The death rate soars to 14.8% in those 80 and older. Among those ages 70 to 79, COVID-19 death rate in China seems to be about 8%. It's 3.6% for those ages 60 to 69, 1.3% for 50 to 59, 0.4% for the age group 40 to 49, and just 0.2% for people ages 10 to 39. And nobody 9 and under has died of this coronavirus to date. This is Toby Sumter with CrossPolitik News. You can find this show and all the others on the Fight Laugh Feast Network at crosspolitik.com or fightlaughfeast.com or on our app, which you can download at your favorite app store. Just search Fight Laugh Feast. Support Rowdy Christian Media and join our club. You know what just got up there. God and Government by Gary DeMar. 10 episodes, 10 sessions. You and Gary, the Bible talking politics. You can get that in our club portal. Just go to fightlaughfeast.com. FightLaughFeast.com. Join the club. There's lots more stuff there. We also hope to meet you at our first annual Fight Laugh Feast conference in Nashville, Tennessee, October 1st through the 3rd this fall. Go to FightLaughFeast.com and register now. Have a great day.